Welcome to these Bible lessons on the Old Testament. In these lessons, we'll cover God's magnificent creation of all the world, including the creation of man, the crown of God's creation. We'll follow with the sad fall of man in paradise and the consequences this brought to the world. In the continuing lessons, we'll teach how God visits men with the revelation of His covenant of grace. When we travel together through the entire Old Testament, we see God visiting His nation of Israel with revelations of this covenant of grace, pointing constantly to the coming Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. We hope these lessons are a blessing to you. Thank you.
Have you ever stopped to ask yourself what all those books just about in the middle of the Bible are doing that have to deal with prophets? Perhaps you're familiar with some of the more common ones, like the book of Isaiah, Jeremiah, the book of Daniel for sure. But what about all those smaller books, some of which are only a chapter in length? What are all those prophecies about? Well, to fully understand why those books are there, we have to go back in history a little bit. In fact, we really should go all the way back to the time of Abraham. So as you know, Abraham's considered to be the covenant father of the Jewish people. And we know that eventually this family grew and grew and grew to the time of Jacob and his children. And if you recall the Old Testament history, at one point, the entire family, Jacob's entire family, that would be the children of Israel at that time, actually lived in Egypt for almost four centuries. And we know that God raised up Moses in order to deliver the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt, and he was going to bring them to the promised land. And when Moses was leading these Jewish people to the promised land, they were almost to the border of Canaan. He said the following to them: "When you beget children and grandchildren and have grown old in the land and act corruptly and make a carved image in the form of anything and do evil in the sight of the Lord your God to provoke him to anger," Moses says this: "I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that you will soon utterly perish from the land which you cross over the Jordan to possess. You will not prolong your days in it, but will be utterly destroyed." And Moses continues. He says, "The Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and you will be left few in number among the nations where the Lord will drive you. And there you will serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. When you are in distress, and all these things come upon you in the latter days, when you turn to the Lord your God and obey his voice, for the Lord your God is a merciful God, he will not forsake you nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers which he swore to them." So this is what Moses is telling the children of Israel, what is going to happen to them after they possess the promised land, the land of Canaan. So Moses, in a sense, is predicting or prophesying what is going to take place in the future with the children of Israel. And this happens. Eventually, the children of Israel do disobey God. They turn to idolatry. They are scattered throughout the land. And this is what the prophecies, the books of the prophets, have to do with. So sometime after they finally possess the land of Canaan, God did allow them to have a king because they wanted to have a king like the other nations around them had. So under the leadership of Saul, the first king, David, the second king, and David's son Solomon, the third king, Israel as a nation became firmly established. They had borders around the kingdom. They were well protected from any enemies that might attempt to invade their territory. But yet, as Moses predicted, the people would rebel against God and would be punished for it. So if you remember from earlier lessons in church and Bible history, after the death of Solomon, the kingdom was split into two. So the northern part of the kingdom retained the name of Israel and consisted of 10 of the 12 tribes. And the southern part, with the two remaining tribes and retaining Jerusalem as its capital, was called Judah. So God sent prophets to both kingdoms, both the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, warning them that if they continued in their idolatry and their general disobedience, they would be scattered throughout the known world at that time. But on the other hand, if they would repent, God would have mercy on them and defeat their enemies. So it was over a period of approximately 400 years that God sent 16 prophets to Israel and Judah, both to warn and to comfort his people. So now I'd like to just take a look at that word prophet. What is a prophet? What makes that particular person different from some of the other people who were involved with the children of Israel at time? The king, the priest, or some other servants, or some other messenger. So what is the prophet? So if we look at the Hebrew word, the word is pronounced nabi. And linguists believe that this word for prophet, the noun, is probably derived from a similar verb that sounds that way, which means to bubble or to boil up, much like a fountain or a natural spring would. So the relationship is that a prophet, in a sense, boils up or bubbles up God's word that is given to him. So a prophet, in the first place, is a spokesman for another. He's also a man who is called to God to give his word to others. So if we think about that, we might say, well, then there are many different prophets already in the Old Testament. Think about Moses. Moses was a person that God communicated with. Moses gave the law to the people. The priests also were called by God. They also spoke to the people. They warned the people. They instructed the people. There were also wise men at that time who would almost act as counselors to some of the rulers. We also have many of the psalmists who were called by God to write psalms, to write songs, to write what we would call poetry, and this would also be given to the people. So a prophet, in order to distinguish that calling from some of these other callings, we could define as possible, as following. A prophet is called by God to his task. A prophet also receives a revelation from God. And then a prophet is also charged with the task of bringing that revelation that he's received to the people. So if we look in the Bible, there are two major groups of prophets. We have the oral prophets who only spoke. As far as we know, they left no writing ascribed to their names. But they were called by God, they received a revelation from God, and they brought that revelation in oral form to the people. The second categorization would be the literary prophets. So these were the prophets who not only spoke the prophecies to the people, but they also wrote them down. Now, in the group of literary, we could divide that into two categories as well. So we have one category called the major prophets, and we have another category called the minor prophets. Now keep in mind, the major and minor do not refer to how popular these prophets were or how important they were. Rather, it is based on the length of their writings. So the major prophets are the ones who have the largest books in the Old Testament of prophecies, and they would be Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. The minor prophets are the authors of the 12 remaining books from Hosea to Malachi. So I'd like to take a look at when these prophets wrote before we proceed. So we can divide the prophets into various centuries. So we will start at the 9th century, which we can also call the early Assyrian period. So in this group, we have Obadiah, who we believe prophesied roughly 845 BC, the prophet Joel, who prophesied around 830 BC, prophet Jonah, who prophesied between 790 and 750 BC. So this is during the period of the divided kingdom. So in Israel's history, remember, the kingdom was divided after Solomon's reign into the northern tribes and the southern tribes. And to the northeast of the empire, the kingdom, the empire of Assyria, which was one of the enemies, was beginning to make its presence known in Israel. Now, by the 8th century, we call this the Assyrian period. This is where Assyria was definitely a threat. Within this time period, we have the book of Amos, and Amos prophesied around 755 BC. We have the book of Hosea. He prophesied between 750 and 725 BC. Isaiah, between 740 and 700 BC, and Micah, 735 to 700 BC. So in 722 BC, so within this century, this is when the northern kingdom of Israel was taken into Assyrian captivity. So these prophets were proclaiming God's message as the nation was being threatened from the north and as Assyria eventually succeeded in taking many of the inhabitants captive and basically taking control over the northern kingdom. 7th century, we call the Chaldean period. This is when Jeremiah wrote. So he prophesied from 626, 627, all the way to the fall of Jerusalem, which occurred in 586 BC. Zephaniah prophesied 630 to 625 BC. Nahum, 625 to 612 BC, and Habakkuk from 625 to 605 BC. So Assyria eventually was defeated by Babylon. And during this time period, these prophets served as God's messengers when the Babylonian Empire threatened the kingdom of Judah. 6th century is the time period of the exile. So we have two prophecies written during this time. One is by Ezekiel, 593 to 570 BC, and the other is Daniel, 605 to 536 BC. So like many of their countrymen, many of the other inhabitants of Judah, these two prophets were taken into Babylonian captivity. And it was from Babylon that they served as God's messengers, not only to the captives, but also to the kings. 6th and 5th centuries, this is called the post-exilic period, so after the exile, we have three. We have Haggai, 520 BC. He wrote his prophecy within a few months. Zechariah, 520 to 518 BC. And then quite a bit later is Malachi, which we estimate to be around 440 BC. So after the Jews were allowed to return home from the Babylonian captivity, God used Haggai and Zechariah to encourage the people to rebuild the temple that was destroyed by the Babylonians. And then later, Malachi was used to reform the priesthood during the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. So a few things to keep in mind as we go through our study of the prophets. The first thing we want to look at is the context. We want to look at the religious context. We want to look at the political context, but also the social context of the times, so that we can properly understand what it was that the prophets were trying to teach and instruct the people in. We also want to consider what was God's relation to the heathen nations. God often used the heathen nations to punish his own people, but then he also raised up other heathen nations to punish those heathen nations that were used to punish his people. So it's very important that we consider all of this together. And then, of course, we want to look at what was being taught. So we want to look at the teachings regarding the coming of the Messiah and also his kingdom, which is still relevant today. And then we also, of course, want to pay attention to the themes that concern God and his word. So if we can keep this in the back of our minds as we proceed through these prophecies, I do believe we will be able to glean a lot more information and learning from this.